ready, set, go. Stop. Isn't it amazing how long 60 seconds of silence is? 1 minute, one measly minute of silence can seem like a long time. When we're on vacation, 60 seconds doesn't seem very long, does it? If you're talking to a good friend, if we're talking to a good friend on the phone, it doesn't seem like very long either, does it? If you're watching an interesting movie, 60 seconds can seem just like just a moment. Speaking of passing quickly, there are only 22 days till Christmas Day. That means that there are approximately 528 hours until December 25, which translates out to 31,680 minutes to get done what you need to get done before that time. Some of you have a look of panic on your face as I said that. So the question is, why in the world did we waste 60 whole seconds, 1 minute, just doing nothing but sitting here? Good question. Timing, I guess I forgot that I'm doing this now. So here, I was looking at Lori and says, how come these slides aren't moving? Well, duh, I'm not pushing buttons. Timing is important to almost everything that exists. We don't plant tomatoes in December. It wouldn't be the right time. Not a one of us is going to start a diet in the next 2 weeks. Not smart. Not the right time to do that. I can remember my father telling me a really interesting story that really made an impact on me. My dad's dad, my grandfather, was a railroader. He worked with steam locomotives back in his day. And when you work with trains, timing is really, really important because there are trains that are going on certain tracks and you don't want to have any kind of derailment or accident. So my dad told me this story. I'll never forget it. He said when he was a young boy, I would imagine 8, 9, 10, something like that, that his dad, the railroader, told him that supper was going to be served at, let's say, 6 o'clock and that he needed to be there by then. And my dad was 60 seconds, one measly minute late for supper. And his railroader father said, son, 1 minute could wreck a train. Go to your room without supper. Timing can be very, very important. Very important. For the next 3 weeks, we're gonna be doing an interesting study. We're gonna look at the miracles of Christmas, and as we look at these miracles, we're gonna do from the perspective of three separate Christmas miracles. The birth of Jesus was one of the greatest miracles that this planet has ever known. Amen. The fact that God, who lived in heaven, the eternal one, assumed human flesh is an unbelievable miracle. And it's the Christmas story, the incarnation of Jesus Christ as God became man. And I think this is one of the greatest miracles of all time, as I have said. And we miss the miracle if we're going to miss the meaning of Christmas if we miss the miracle. They're both tied in very much together. And as we contemplate the miracles of Christmas, we're going to do so as we contemplate the miracle of the moment, the miracle of the method, and the miracle of the manger. So I'm looking forward to this Christmas series. I hope you plan to be here for this. Let's pray. Loving Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God has perfect timing. Do you believe that? You believe it? God has perfect timing. Now there's, I think if all of us are honest, really candid, there have been times in our life where we kind of doubted that God had the timing thing down, or if he even had any timing at all. How many times have you, like me, wondered, why hasn't God answered one of my prayers that I've been praying for years or whatever period of time? We wonder if he's even listening. What kind of sense of timing do you have, God? In the quarterly classes, who are studying the book of Job, I would like to suggest that there was a time that Job was really wondering if God had perfect timing, or if he had even any timing at all. But God has perfect timing. And by faith, not by sight, but by faith, we believe that God's timing is impeccable. God's timing is perfect. God's timing is awesome because he's the one who can see the end from the beginning, and he sees perspective and issues and things that we have no clue over. And it's going to be an interesting conversation that I have with God in heaven, and I know you're looking for that conversation too, and you're going, now about my life, God, when things went this way and they weren't pleasant, they seemed like they were disastrous, what was going on? And I fully believe with all my heart that our God is going to explain all the issues and the things that he could see that we couldn't see. And after his explanation, we're going to go, we're going to bow low and we're going to say, Lord, you knew best. You knew what you were doing. I'm sorry I even came close to ever doubting you. God has perfect timing. And this perfect timing is seen in the birth of Jesus Christ. Because if there was ever an event that was an illustration that showed that God has perfect timing, it was the birth of Jesus Christ. There's a scripture that's really a good one from Galatians 4, 4, and 5, New International Version. This is how it reads. But when the set time, who sets the time? God. When the set time that God set, I am parenthetically add, when the set time had fully come, God sent his son born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. I'm going to show this verse from another version, the contemporary English version, which is a marvelous version. If you ever have a chance, get your hand on it. It's really good. Contemporary English version. This is how it reads. But when the time was right, God sent his son, and a woman gave birth to him. His son obeyed the law so he could set us free from the law and we could become children. When the time was right, when the time was precisely right, when the time was exactly right, God sent Jesus to be born on this earth. And as we look at the birth of Jesus Christ, it was not a haphazard sort of thing. It wasn't coincidental. It didn't just happen by chance. There's a pastor by the name of Bruce Howell who wrote about the timeliness of Christ's birth just from the perspective of the conditions of the world. We know that God has his time, and Christ was born when God had preordained this, and he had preordained this even before the world was created, because God knows the end from the beginning. But this pastor wrote some interesting words on the conditions of the time and why the birth of Christ at that particular time in history was just perfect timing. Listen, I will read from his excerpts. The Roman Empire was at the zenith of its power. A longing for something better existed in many hearts. People were disillusioned and desperate. Pagan religion was bankrupt. Philosophers only raised questions but never gave answers. Crime was at an all-time high. Respect was lacking. Sin and corruption abounded. It was truly a time of moral and spiritual darkness. Large numbers of Gentiles throughout the Roman Empire begin to show interest in the Old Testament promises about a Messiah who was to come and would bring deliverance and establish a kingdom that would be everlasting. And this was the condition that Jesus was born in. Truly, it can be said, when the time was right, God sent his son, and a woman gave birth to him. The birth of Jesus Christ was not a matter of coincidence. It wasn't happenstance. It was preordained, and God's perfect timing came into play when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, what we call the Christmas story. So Christ came at exactly the right moment because God has perfect timing. I'd like to also suggest that Christ provides at the right time, the right moment, because God's timing is perfect. And the good news of the gospel is that God came to us in Jesus Christ at just the right time when we needed him most. That is the way that God operates. Now check out some of these really interesting promises from the Old Testament talking about God just coming through at exactly the right time. Psalms 145:15, Contemporary English Version. Everyone depends on you, talking about God. Everyone depends on you. And when the time is right, you provide them with food. So here is David talking about how God is a provider, and he provides at exactly the right time. How many of you have experienced God providing something just when you needed it most? And I'm raising my hand, and I see some other hands. That is the kind of God we serve. He provides just at the right time. Here's another verse of scripture from Psalms. Psalms 104, verse 27. NIV, all creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. Again, this teaching is about God who provides at the proper time. And one more verse of scripture. Deuteronomy 11:14. He will send rain on your land when it is needed. In the autumn and in the spring, so that there will be grain, wine, and olive oil for you. So God's promise is to provide when we need it most. And that is the kind of God, ladies and gentlemen, that we serve. God not only sent Jesus to be born in Bethlehem at exactly the right time, because you see, God's timing is perfect, but he sent him when we needed him most. And consider this encouraging scripture that I'm going to show you that talks about not only God's perfect timing on the birth of Christ, but it also talks about God's perfect timing when it comes to the cross of Christ. Romans 5:6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus Christ went to the cross at just the right time so he could eternally win our salvation. And I am telling you, that means everything to me. Everything. Because without that, I would have no hope and neither would you. But at the time when we were most helpless, when we needed a Savior, God sent his Son to be our divine substitute. And that means everything. It is when we are powerless that we need the miracle of God most. It is when we are helpless, we need Jesus most. That's when we are in a position to have a miracle of God. And when those miracles come, we can't say, well, I kind of worked this out by myself. I'm pretty smart, and I'm a hard worker, and I really know how to make things happen in my life. When we're helpless and we're hopeless, and God works a miracle on our behalf, all we can say is, glory be to God. And he gets all the honor, the credit, and the glory. It's when we need him most that he comes through. You know, I'm reminded of that, and this will date me probably, but there's an old hymn written by a man named William Poole. And the name of the hymn is, Just When I Need Him Most. You heard that one before, the refrain, and feel free to join me. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Jesus is there to comfort and cheer. Just when I need him most. Ah, some of you are old like me, you know that one. Aren't those words fantastic? Just when we need him most. And the Christmas story reminds us that God comes through when we need him most. He provides at just the right moment. The third point that I want to make when it comes to the miracle of the Christmas story is, now is the right moment. Now is the right moment. Listen to what the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, New Living Translation. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. The right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Now, our lives are made up of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of moments. I'm not sure how long, depending on how long we live. But the Bible seems to repeatedly say that now, presently, just this very moment is the right time for us to look to God and make him or remake him our personal Savior. Now is the right time. Think about it. When Jesus was born, it wasn't the right time for anybody. It wasn't the right time for Joseph. Talked about that in the class that I attended today and was reminded. It wasn't the right time for Joseph, for Jesus to be born. He was engaged to be married, but his wedding day hadn't come. So it wasn't the right time for Joseph. It wasn't the right time for Mary. Are you kidding me? 9 months pregnant, riding on the back of a donkey for 90 miles, away from her home, away from her mom, and giving birth in a barnyard? It wasn't the right time for Mary. It wasn't the right time for the innkeeper. He felt guilty. Here's this couple who has traveled. They're haggard. They're tired. The baby, it looks like it's coming right now that this woman is so pregnant. And he has no vacancy in his motel. So he has to look at this couple and say, I'm sorry. But he felt so sorry for him. Said, well, you can have a part in the stable. It's at least dry, and you can keep warm in there. I think he must have wished, this is not the right time for this couple to be here in my presence, ready to have a baby. Why can't they wait till after the taxation is over at a time when there's vacancy? It wasn't the right time for the innkeeper. It wasn't the right time for anyone when Jesus was born. Only a handful of people, a relative few, recognized that the Messiah had been born because it just wasn't the right time, the convenient time for most of them. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, and hear me well, that when Jesus comes to any of us through the agents of the Holy Spirit and speaks to our heart, rarely is it the right time for us. Rarely is it the convenient time for us. And we are very capable of playing what I call a bargaining game with God because we don't feel it's the right time to really radically commit to Jesus Christ and a life for him. And this bargaining not the right time game can begin even when we're in elementary school. Some have said, I'll make a complete commitment to Christ when I get in high school academy. I'll be older and I'll be more intellectually developed and I'll be able to make a better decision. And sometimes some of those same people find out that when they're in high school or academy, it's not the right time for them. And so those same people might say, when I get to college, that is when it will be the right time. And they get to college and they have more freedoms and they're having a good time and they're making new friends and growing up and all that goes with that. And they're tempted to say, now is not the best time. It's not the right time. But I will make a commitment to Jesus Christ that is full-fledged. After I graduate from college and I have studies behind me, and then you do that, and then you may get into some higher education, studying for a master's or a doctorate or whatever, and you're so busy and you're tempted to say, not complete commitment to Christ now. It's just not the right time. It's not convenient. But I will, once I get out of school and I get married and I settle down. And then you get married and you settle down and you find out that married life after being single all your life is full of huge adjustments. Huge. Right, George? Huge adjustments. And it's not as easy as you thought. And you go, well, maybe now is not the perfect time to be getting all super spiritual and things. And so I'll tell you what, when I have kids, that'll be an important time for me to get responsible because I will have other human beings to be responsible over and I'll have to be a good witness and a model and all that. And then kids come. And life is more complicated with kids there than it was with them not being there. So it's not the right time. It's not convenient. And so you can say, well, when those kids go off to school, I'll have more time. And then you find out that when the kids go off to school, that there are a bunch of school activities that you need to be involved with. So that's not the right time in your opinion either. And you can say, well, when the kids leave home, the dust will settle and I'll have more time to myself. And the kids leave home and life is still as crazy as it has always been. And then you say, well, when I retire, the dust will settle down certainly. And you retire and talk to some retired people like the Newmans, and they're busier than they were when they were working almost. These guys are unbelievable how much stuff they do. These same people can always put it off in the future. It's never the right time. And one day, you're staring up at the ceiling of a hospital room. And you're wondering where all the moments went. And you have this panicky feeling like you only have possibly a few more days of life left. When is the right moment? When is the convenient moment to make a full commitment to Jesus Christ? Now, today. That's what the Word of God tries to tell us. God's timing is perfect. But as perfect as God's timing is, we have to respond to it. God's timing is perfect in everything that he does. It's perfect. But as perfect as that timing is, if we don't respond to it, it doesn't mean a thing to us personally. And so we can either check the now box or the later box. And the temptation for us who have sinful human natures, who seem to be very good at procrastinating and putting things off until another time because we just don't feel it's the right time. Well, guess what? We may never feel like it is the perfect time. And too many people do not make a commitment to Christ because they do not come to Christ as they are. The Bible repeatedly invites us to come to Jesus just as we are. Warts, sin, problems, hang-ups, all of the above. Just come to him as we are. And he doesn't expect us to get super holy before we come to him. You realize that when you read the Gospels, it was the down and out people, the sinners, those that had huge problems who gladly received Jesus and he received them back. And those who were the religious elite who had practiced their following God in their lives, they had a difficult time coming to Jesus because they had their hang-ups and they didn't believe they could come just as they are, and they didn't realize that they were sinners in need of a Savior too. So Jesus says, I receive sinners, and that is the good news of the gospel. I don't know where you're at with God. I know because I have sinful human nature too, that there's a real tendency sometimes to be so busy with our lives. And I have that occupational hazard as a pastor to be so busy in ministry that I short my relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know where you're at. Can't read your heart. That's not my job. But my job is to lift up Jesus Christ and to say, let's commit to him now. Because God's timing is perfect. And if we take that step of faith and commit to him, and maybe you've committed to him before, let's re-up today. Let's make day today another day that we just boldly step over the line and say, Jesus, I'm yours again today. Just want you to know I'm choosing that today. And we'll need to choose it tomorrow and the next day. It's not a once-for-all thing. We need to choose him every single day. Maybe some of you have chose him, but right now you've gotten a little cold. There's some dust on your heart right now. It's not as warm toward the things of God as it should be. And life beats us up. I get it, you know. But here we have an opportunity to say, right here, right now, Lord, I'm serving notice. I'm giving you my all. Maybe, I don't know, maybe there's someone here that has never made that commitment to God before. Nothing more important that you can do than to declare sincerely from the heart that, God, I want to follow you fully. You don't have to have it all figured out how your life's going to go. You don't have to arrive at a super sainthood strata. All you have to do is have a willing heart, a sincere heart that says, I can't do this by my own. God, I need you in my life. And if you're there, then congratulations, because God is going to do something really, really wonderful in your life as he's done in mine. So wherever you're at, we're going to have a prayer, and I just want you to, we're not going to raise hands, we're not going to have you stand, we're not going to have you come forward. I'm just going to ask you to articulate to God whatever you feel led by the Spirit to tell him right now, and then I'll close in prayer. Loving Father, there are, all of us here fight this fight of faith, and we're weak, and it seems like we're helpless, but Lord, we acknowledge our helplessness, and we come to you for the miracle of Christmas, that your timing is perfect, and we want to respond to Jesus. Lord, I know you hear the cry of our heart. Thank you for being such a wonderful God that loved us so much that you couldn't stand the idea of an eternity without us in it with you. And you sent your Son freely, born humanly, so that he could grow up and be our divine substitute, our Savior. What a wonderful time of year to acknowledge that we love Jesus. And in his name we ask this, amen.